Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Glenmark Life Sciences Q2 FY24 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Soumi Rao, General Manager, Corporate Communications. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Good evening, everyone. I welcome you all to the earnings conference call of Glenmark Life Sciences Limited for the quarter ended September 30th, 2023. From Glenmark Life Sciences, we have with us Dr. Yasir Rawjee, our MD and CEO, and Mr. Tushar Mistry, our CFO. Our board has approved the results for the quarter ended September 30th, 2023. We have released the same to the stock exchanges and updated it on our website. Please note that the recording of the transcript of this call will be available on the website of the company. Now, I'd like to draw your attention to the fact that some of the information shared as part of this call, especially information with respect to our plans and strategies, may contain certain forward-looking statements that involve risks and uncertainties. These statements are based on current expectations, forecasts, and assumptions that are subject to risks, which could cause actual results to differ materially from these statements, depending upon our economic conditions, government policies, and other incidental factors. Such statements should not be regarded by recipients as a substitute of their own judgment. The company undertakes no obligation to update or revise any forward-looking statement, whether as a result of new information, future events, or otherwise. Our actual results may differ materially from those expressed in or implied by these forward-looking statements. With that, I invite Dr. Yasir Rawjee to say a few words. Thank you, and over to you, Doctor.
Soumi, thank you. Good evening and welcome, everyone, to our Q2 earnings call. Before I get into the discussion of GLS performance, let's just take a couple of minutes to discuss the economy and industry trends that are likely to have a direct or indirect impact on the business. The economic landscape remains a little uncertain, with the Chinese economy slowing down, which does have an impact on the chemicals industry. Plus, the inflation across the globe continues to challenge economic stability in various parts of the world. The geopolitical situation also could have some impact on oil prices, and so that could have some impact on our business. But we've seen the worst, okay? So overall, if you look at the economic and geopolitical landscape, there are a few moving parts that will impact our business, can impact our business, but largely, you know, things should be okay for our industry. So coming to the industry itself, the demand landscape is very promising at present. Okay, demand has been strong for us across various regions, with the U.S. experiencing a surge in demand on the back of a stabilized pricing environment. Europe and LATAM also continue to showcase sustained momentum, along with our India DMF business. The supply dynamics also show encouraging signs, marked by enhanced stability in supply chain and oversupply from China on chemicals, resulting in better commodity and intermediate prices. So it reflects a resilient and positive pharmaceutical environment, you know, positive environment for our industry. That said, we need to stay vigilant and adaptive to potential ramifications of the ongoing geopolitical and economic turbulence in the coming quarters. As far as GLS's performance goes, we are pleased to share that we achieved sales of 595 crores during the second quarter, continuing the growth trajectory with close to 17% growth. Growth has been driven by a 20% growth in our generic API business, which to some extent was offset by a temporary dip in the CDMO revenue. The generic API business was driven by both the Glenmark Pharma business, which grew close to 50% YOY, as well as consistent upward momentum in the external business. It is crucial to highlight that the dip in the CDMO business in Q2 was temporary, and we expect demand to pick up in the second half of the current financial year. If you look at our regional distribution, except for slight degrowth in Japan and ROW, all markets have performed exceedingly well. On the product pipeline, we have added 3 new products to our pipeline with 1 high-potent API and 2 complex APIs. Coming to the high-potent API pipeline, we now have 12 products with a total addressable market of $21 billion at the front end. And 3 products have been validated so far. Now, before I conclude, it is important to address the Glenmark Pharma's recent decision to divest its majority stake in Glenmark Life Sciences. Glenmark Pharma will be divesting 75% stake in Glenmark Life Sciences to Nirma Limited. This transaction, we believe, is a beginning of a new chapter for GLS as Nirma Limited becomes the principal promoter of the company. We believe this strategic move is poised to accelerate growth and will help create more value for our stakeholders in the long term. I would like to highlight that we will continue to operate as an independent API company and our core mission remains, even with the change in ownership. Strategy-wise, nothing changes on the business front for the short term, but I would surely like to mention that there will be focus on additional growth levers going forward. Therefore, I see this event as an opportunity to further strengthen our position in the API industry and continue the strong growth trajectory with healthy margins. The transaction, of course, is subject to necessary regulatory approvals. More insights will have to wait for strategic direction to be finalized with the new promoter once the transaction is completed. I urge for your patience till such time. However, I would like to highlight that it is vital to underscore that the core strategy of GLS will remain intact, with any new strategy developed being only incremental to our core approach. Looking ahead, we have good visibility for the second half on the generics API side as well as CDMO, which gives us the confidence of delivering strong growth in the latter half of the financial year as well. This will translate into a strong FY24 for us, provided the external environment remains conducive. So with that, I now invite CFO Tushar Mistry to discuss the financial performance for the quarter.
Thank you, Dr. Yasir. Hello and good evening, everyone. Welcome to our Q2 FY24 earnings call. I would like to briefly touch upon the key performance highlights for the quarter and half year ended 30th September 2023, and then we will open the floor for questions and answers. We had a good growth this quarter with revenue from operations at 595 crores, a growth of 16.9% year-on-year and 2.9% on sequential basis. As Dr. Yasir mentioned, the growth was driven by strong uptake in generic API business. The gross profit for the quarter was at 322 crores at 19.7% year-on-year growth. Gross margin for the quarter was at 54.1%, which expanded 120 basis points year-on-year. Sequentially, gross margin looks low, but please understand, Q1 was a quarter where all guns fired well for us. EBITDA for the quarter was at 172 crores, up 12.3% year-on-year. EBITDA margin for the quarter was at 29%, driven by better gross margin and higher employee expenses. Gross margin was driven by product mix, whereas higher employee expenses was driven by regular increment cycles, and certain talent management costs, which is expected to continue at similar levels in the near term. However, it is important to note that we continue to have one of the lowest employee cost to revenue ratios in the industry. Depreciation and amortization is in line with CapEx spends done last year. The PAT for the quarter stood at 118 crores, a growth of 10.6% year-on-year, with PAT margins coming at 19.9%. Let me quickly discuss half-yearly numbers. Revenue from operations for first half was at 1174 crores, a growth of 17.5% year-on-year. Gross profit for H1 FY24 was at 653 crores, up 23.1% year-on-year. Gross profit margin for H1 FY24 expanded by 250 basis points year-on-year to 55.6%. EBITDA was at 367 crores, up 18.6%, with EBITDA margins remaining steady at 31.3%. PAT for H1 was at 255 crores, up 17.7%. Moving on to the segmental performance for Q2 FY24, generic API revenues grew by almost 20% to Rs. 543 crores, driven by strong growth in GPL business, coupled with sustained growth in external business. CDMO business revenue was subdued at Rs. 25.3 crores, driven by low demand for one of the products. However, as Dr. Yasir mentioned, this was temporary and we have good demand visibility for second half of FY24. Looking at the therapeutic mix, CVS and CNS continued to lead the growth during the quarter, with both therapies contributing 60% to the top line. R&D expenditure for the quarter was at 37 crores, which was 3.1% of our sales. touching upon the balance sheet and cash flow movement, starting with working capital. Working capital remained stable during H1 FY24 at 170 days. And all the working capital components remained stable for the first half. Coming to capital expenditure, CapEx for H1 was at 63 crores. I would also like to share an important update on Solapur CapEx. The engineering work has started for construction of phase 1 of 200 KL in Solapur. We continue to remain a net debt-free company, and I'm happy to inform you that we have generated strong cash flow from operations of Rs. 216 crores in first half, with cash and cash equivalents of Rs. 443 crores on the books as of 30th September 2023. To conclude, a strong demand scenario coupled with better visibility for H2 FY24 makes us confident of delivering strong growth in FY24. With that, let us open the floor for Q&A. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and 1 if you wish to ask a question. We have the first question from the line of Nitesh Dutt from Burman Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. I have a question on our parent business. Can you give some color on how that business will evolve, if there are any long-term contracts, or whether the business will taper down in future? Any perspective on that?
So parent business will continue. Of course, we have been operating at an arm's length. So in that sense, nothing changes, right? But it's a significant business. There is an agreement that this business will continue for a period of 5 years. Okay. And just like Glenmark Pharma is an important customer for us, Glenmark Life Sciences is also an important supplier to Glenmark Pharma. We supply more than 65 APIs to Glenmark Pharma. So we expect that this business will be robust and will continue. Of course, we had guided in the past that with the sort of divergent strategies of Glenmark Pharma and Glenmark Life Sciences, we expect the overall contribution to our business from Glenmark Pharma to come down over a period of time. But we will continue to be an important supplier to them.
Correct. And so can you share some details around this 5-year agreement? Is it sort of a guaranteed offtake kind of agreement, or is any kind of growth embedded in that?
Yeah, so like I said, right, our business with Glenmark Pharma has been an arm's length business. We, of course, need to be competitive. Right, and so far we have been competitive and have retained a significant business. Also, you need to realize that most of the business that we are doing with Glenmark Pharma, over 95% of the business is a regulated market business, right? So with the number of approvals that we have over multiple markets, right, this is a fairly sticky business and would continue.
All right, sir. Thanks. I'll get back in touch.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Charul Agrawal from Bank of America. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my question. Sir, could you help us understand how the CDMO business will move from here? You have mentioned a few projects that will pick up from 2X, so could you share updates on those?
Okay, so see, CDMO has been a little bit lumpy, right? In the past, you've seen this as well. The good news for us on CDMO is that the current projects are on track, on account of, slow demand on one of the projects, right? One of the commercial projects, we saw this quarter, a dip in this quarter. But overall, this business will continue. The other thing on the CDMO business is we've had a lot of traction from new customers on new projects, which we are currently qualified, where our API is being currently qualified. So the outlook on the CDMO business for us is going to be pretty strong going forward, right? In about a year's time, we should see at least another 2 to 3 projects added to the basket.
So thank you for this. Sir, could you also help us understand if among the new capacity that is planned, the brownfield capacity, is there some capacity that will be devoted towards CDMO? And if so, how much would it be for CDMO?
So as far as capacity goes, it's an overall capacity build. So if you recall, in Ankleshwar, we had taken up this one large block of 400 KL, of which 192 KL came online in Q4 of last year. And by this Q4, we will have another 208 KL built out. So that's going to be significant. Now, this will be both for the generic as well as the CDMO business. So we don't have dedicated capacities for CDMO. So far, none of our CDMO customers have asked for dedicated capacity. It's only one project, one current commercial project that has a dedicated capacity. And that is by virtue of the technology that is in use for that project. So overall, for our CDMO projects, we don't have dedicated capacity.
Thank you for this, sir. So one last question for me. Tushar, if you could help us understand what would be the CAPEX guidance, and when would the OPEX come for the Ankleshwar plant? Has it already come in, or is it supposed to come from next quarter?
So, Charul, we have been guiding to 150 to 200 crores of CAPEX in the current year. We'll be more towards the 200 crores of CAPEX in the current year, is how we are looking at CAPEX for the current year.
Thanks, Tushar. And regarding the OPEX, is it already there for the Ankleshwar plant, or will it come over from the next quarter?
So we have expansions happening in Ankleshwar, also in Dahej, and also a bit of Solapur that I explained in my opening remarks. So we are starting on Solapur as well now. Some part of that is dedicated towards that as well.
Charul, does that answer your question?
Yes, it does.
Charul, you are not audible at the moment if you are speaking.
Yes, that answers my question. Sorry, I was on mute.
All right. Thank you. Participants, if you wish to ask a question, you may please press star and one. The next question is from the line of Sumit Gupta from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening, sir. So I have two questions. First is regarding the employee expenses. So there has been a nearly 300 basis points jump in the employee expenses as percentage of sales. And why is this so, and what is the trend do you see going forward? And second question is on the line of the EBITDA margin. So in 2Q, on there's one trend that 2Q in general is moderate with respect to other quarters. So why is that so? Thank you.
Actually, the answer for both is the employee cost itself. So your question on employee cost, as I again mentioned in my opening remarks, there are certain talent management costs. There are certain expenses that we have incurred on bonuses to some employees, which will have impact in the which has impact in the current quarter as will continue to have some impact in the near term, and that's what we are seeing for the current year. The impact will remain, and that also answers your EBITDA margin question. where the margin has come to 29% compared to around 31% in the past.
Okay, so this trend would like continue in 24 and 25, at least 28-29% EBITDA margin.
This is for the current year that I am saying, not for the, we'll see for the next year, we'll guide as we come closer to that time.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. To ask a question, ladies and gentlemen, you may please press star 1. The next question is from the line of Bala Murali Krishna from Oman Investment Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening. Regarding CDMO business, one project is getting delayed because of some regulatory approvals since last few quarters. Could you please update on that? What is the status on that project?
Yeah, so see, from us, from GLS's perspective, API has been supplied, okay, and the customer has taken validation batches already at their end. But they are looking to enter 50 plus markets here, right? So from a regulatory perspective, they are, you know, they are aligning all their regulatory filings, and as a result of which there have been delays. But it is on track, it is going well, okay. So we do expect it to come hopefully by the end of this year, okay. But like I said earlier to Charu's question, is that we have added, we are actively pursuing other CDMO projects which are moving much faster. And in about a year's time, we should see another 2 to 3 projects added to our pipeline. Currently, our entire CDMO business is driven by 3 commercial projects. So another 2 or 3 will make a significant impact on our CDMO revenue.
Yeah, well, that's fine. And regarding this margins, so in this for upcoming 4-5 years, when GPL we're supposed to supply to GPL, so is there any possibility to get some impact on the margins, or we can maintain the same 30% kind of margins for the maybe about 2-3 years down the line?
Yeah, so again, right, the GPL business is an arm's length business, right? We continue to remain competitive, on that business, and the margin profile is an overall, it's a function of our mix, right? And considering that we've got a fairly large number of launch molecules coming up, right, plus CDMO business growing relatively, we expect that the margin profile will at least stay, in the same region.
Okay. And regarding this, the coming 200K LPD capacity addition in this H2, so we can see some incremental revenues from this, or it's like in-house consumption, it will be catered to in-house.
No, we have planned part of it for backward integration and part of it for, intermediates. So the demand is high, right, for both segments, by the BI as well as the intermediates. So we expect that, it'll have a fairly quick uptake on utilization, the new capacity that will come online by Q4.
Okay, that's all. Thank you. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. To ask a question, participants, you may please press star 1 on your touchtone phones. The next question is from the line of S. Mukherjee from Nomura. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question. So I wanted to understand, this agreement with Glenmark. So you have an agreement for 5 years for offtake. Are there any other clauses like non-compete clause? Can Glenmark, produce some of the APIs for its in-house consumption? And also on pricing, what kind of protection we have in the agreement?
Yeah, so, Sayo, this is the non-compete is there for both Glenmark Pharma as well as for Nirma as well. So Glenmark Pharma will have to restrict from doing the APIs that Glenmark Life Sciences is doing. And so will Nirma have to avoid doing any formulations that Glenmark Pharma is doing using Glenmark Life Science APIs.
Okay. So, for let's say future pipeline projects of Glenmark, Glenmark can develop its own APIs for its internal use. I mean, is it restricted to the basket that Glenmark Life Sciences is currently catering to, or even for the future baskets, future products, you know, over the next 5 years, is there a restriction there as well?
The pipeline products can be done by Glenmark Life Sciences or by Glenmark Pharma, depending upon how the arrangement goes, but there is no restriction there.
I just like to clarify, on the pipeline, right, Glenmark Pharma has already qualified quite a few GLS APIs, so that will come under the agreement, but anything new, right, that they want to develop, right, that they can go ahead and develop, because I had explained in one of my earlier calls that there is a divergence in the portfolio approach of GLS and GPL, right? And so if we are not going to develop certain APIs for our own reasons, driven by our business, right, they are free to go ahead and develop those APIs because it doesn't anywhere fit in our, you know, bucket.
Okay. And sir, secondly, have you sort of shared any guidance?
Shared what? Could you please repeat? Your question was not clear.
Yeah, sorry, sir. I was asking EBITDA margin guidance for this year and for FY25.
So we stick to our guidance that we have been giving in the past from a long-term perspective, that both on the revenue as well as on EBITDA, revenues will be within the mid-teens range and the EBITDA margins will be around 30% kind of range over a long-term period.
Okay, and this is think, you know, you'll have 30% even this year, FY24?
This year, as I mentioned, there are certain employee-related expenses also coming in, which
right.
Will have some temporary impact. But other than that, we will remain within that range.
Okay. So this quarter's EBITDA margin is representative of what we should expect for the full FY24. Will that be a right?
You can assume that, I would say.
Okay. And then finally, more strategic question in terms of you know, I don't know, I mean, at this point, how much you can share, but within the Nirma...
Excuse me, Mr. Mukherjee, the line for you is unclear at the moment. If you could please repeat your question.
Yeah, am I audible now?
Yes, this is better. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sorry. I was asking from a strategic perspective, what, you know, under the Nirma group, what all, you know, you think you can do, which were possibly you couldn't have pursued under, you know, within the Glenmark framework. So if you can elaborate that, is it the CDMO piece, you know, coming out of a generic company or anything like that, if you can, you know, elaborate strategically how things change for life sciences now?
So see, from a strategic perspective, right, we will stay on track with respect to the strategy. Right. However, once the regulatory approvals come through and the transaction is closed, then we would explore various options because you realize that the API space is extremely wide and there are a large number of opportunities that for historical reasons we have not pursued. Okay. So very likely that once the regulatory approvals come through and, you know, the transaction is concluded, we would be sitting and sort of working out the strategy with the new promoters, you know, and so things will become, you know, better clarified once that happens. So I'd request that, you know, you give us some time before we come through on that. It's very difficult to speculate at this point, right, in terms of what we will be doing, but I can say that we expect to do more for sure.
And sir, when you say more, is it more on the CDMO side you know, some developing relationship with innovators? I mean, anything on that color you can give? Or I mean, at this point, you know, is anything that Nirma brings to the table which can add?
So that's what, see, CDMO and API are parts of our current strategy anyway, right? I mean, and we, like I explained earlier, right, we've been getting significant traction on CDMO even now, right? And given the fact that, you know, it's a more sticky business, right, I mean, that's something we would definitely continue. What I'm referring to is things that, you know, in the past that we did not do, right? So these are the things that we would kind of explore with the new promoters, right, to see if we can expand in different directions. Like I said, too early to sort of put something on the table, because we'd really like to have this to be a joint, you know, kind of have a clear understanding between us and the new promoter. So, you know, give us some time and, you know, we'll certainly come back. The key thing is that we first need to go through the regulatory approvals.
Got it. Okay. Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask questions may please press star and one at this time. The next question is from the line of Saad Sheikh from BOB Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. So my question was with regards to the PLI benefit we have recorded in the past for few quarters. So since we are being disassociated with the parent and they have the PLI mandate, so how this benefit will be going forward? Could you comment on that?
Sorry, you are saying the PLI benefit going forward?
Yes, after NEMA takeover.
Yeah, so the current understanding is that the PLI benefit will continue till the time we are a part of the GPL group. Beyond that timeline, we are still exploring what possibilities will be there and how it will pan out. We don't have the clarity yet on that. But nevertheless, even if it has to be there, it's a 100 to 150 basis points of impact, which we are sure we'll be able to cover otherwise.
Okay, thanks. And on working capital, is there any plans to improve from here onwards?
No, I think the effort to keep on improving on that continues, but as Dr. explained, the geopolitical scenario currently is so volatile that we don't want to be very thin on the working capital. We rather would invest some part in it and sit on some of the inventories rather than, you know, do too much of correction there. And we are being cautious there. So we have not increased the working capital from the levels that we saw in March. We have remained at that level. But we don't expect it to go significantly high from here or anything that can significantly change from here.
Oh, thanks.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, you may please press star and one on your touchtone phones. The next question is from the line of Charul Agrawal from Bank of America. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the follow-up. I wanted to clarify regarding the EBITDA margin guidance for FY24.
Yeah, Charul, go ahead. So I just gave that to Sanyo that the long-term margin remains to what we have been guiding in the past of EBITDA margin in the range of around 30%, and that will remain. In the near term, it will you will see some dip happening in the current year because of the employee expenses that we saw. But otherwise, from an overall long-term perspective, it should remain in the range that we have been guiding.
So, but for, even for the current year, given that we are expecting CDMO to pick up over the next quarter and employee costs were already elevated this quarter, do we expect Like, do we not expect margins to recover from this level?
So again, it's a matter of product mix and CDMO playing out. I mean, CDMO is something that we are expecting. We'll see how that plays out. Depending on that, we'll so we are not saying that it may or may not have an impact on the margin, but it is all a matter of timing. And CDMO is not something that we are you know, absolutely certain that this will happen at this point of time. There's a lot of regulatory involvement there, so it has to play out as per the timelines, right?
You had called out that you were in advanced discussions with two other customers, and for those you had supplied validation batches and expected it to commercialize in 2x. So is it still very uncertain, or what is the outlook on those?
No, Charul, it's not uncertain. The reason we were able to so categorically put it on the table now is because we have already supplied validation quantities, right? And that's why I said in a year from now, we would expect another two to three projects to come in, right? Let's realize that once we supply validation quantities, there's an approval cycle like Tushar was explaining, okay? And so whether it, you know, when it impacts our numbers is something we would not be able to say for certain, whether it hits us and whether it benefits us in Q4 or, you know, whether it goes to Q2 of next year is something that needs to be seen, right? So that's where, you know, we can't be absolutely certain that, you know, these two new projects that are likely to happen soon, right, will kick in this year or by next year. That's the point.
Thanks, sir. That answers my question.
Sure.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, you may please press star and one. The next question is from the line of Naman Bhansali from Perpetuity Ventures LLP. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. I just have one question with Nirma coming up on the board. How do you see the management board to change, or would there be, or would it be the total same board, or how would the roles change, if any?
So the management will continue, Naman. Management, there is no change in the management that we see. Obviously, the representation of Glenmark Pharma on the board of Glenmark Life Sciences will go down, and there will be representations from Nirma coming on board of Glenmark Life Sciences. That is what we see as a change that is happening. As far as the senior leadership team and the other members of the Glenmark Life Sciences will continue as they are operating today. There is no change in that.
Okay, got it. And second question would be on the synergy. So, you know, Nirma has a big chemical business going on. So do you see any other further synergies into our business? And secondly, on one point you mentioned that you would be open to exploring other CDMO opportunities which you haven't done previously. So are there any such opportunities which could be opening up with the promoter change?
See, Naman, from a long-term growth strategy perspective, we'll have to, you know, really wait for us to interact with the new promoters and get the strategies in line with them. As of now, our strategy that we have been talking about in the past remains. Whatever will come on top of that, so it will only be accretive to our current strategy. But we would really urge that we will have to wait till the time all the regulatory approvals and all are done, and then we are able to then interact with the new promoters to give some strategic, way forward on this.
Got it. And lastly, just to point out the oncology and complex business which we are getting into. So when do you see the major pickup coming in this particular segment of our business?
So see, onco has picked up really well. Like we explained last time, we have 9 molecules already in onco in the pipeline. Okay, 3 have been validated already. Okay, and we continue to see a good amount of traction in all of them. Of course, they are at various stages in development. Some have immediate offtake in terms of validation. Others, because they are newer APIs, right, are currently being seeded with customers. So they are in various stages of the development life cycle. But the good thing is that I think we made the right play at the right time with onco. And with our onco facility also coming up in time, we are able to validate the new APIs in time to be able to supply to customers. Commercial will sort of take its time, but some of them will happen pretty soon.
Got it, understood. And one last, if I can please, relating to employee benefit expenses. So we are seeing a 67 crores number this quarter, and historically we've seen that Q2 is a high number for us, but it tapers down for the remaining quarters. So are we expecting such a phenomena this year also, or Q3 and Q4 as such a base?
Sorry, Naman, you are again talking about the employee cost part?
Yes. I was saying that in Q2, generally we are seeing it is a high number, but over the next second half of the year, it generally tapers down a little bit from that date.
So you will see a bit higher than what it has been in the normal times in the past. So you should expect some higher cost for the current year.
Got it. And you mentioned some talent acquisition going on in that space. So could you point out any specific ones?
Sorry?
And you mentioned in your opening comments that there are some talent acquisition going on due to which the employee benefit.
No, I mentioned not talent acquisition, talent management I mentioned. So it is more to do with from a management perspective, not from an acquisition. No further acquisitions that we are looking at from a talent perspective.
Okay. Got it. Thanks. That's it.
Thank you. To ask a question, ladies and gentlemen, you are requested to please press star 1. The next question is from the line of Bala Murali Krishna from Oman Investment Advisors. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity again. Regarding the CDMO business, if we can commercialize the upcoming projects, what would be the peak revenue potential we can expect in the 24 or 25 or 26?
Mr. Murali Krishna, you'll have to repeat. I could not follow the question, please.
Yeah, if in the CDMO segment, if we can commercialize the upcoming 2-3 projects which you are talking about on the upcoming year, so what could be the peak revenue potential we can expect in the 25 from the CDMO sector?
So currently we do about 150 crores with 3 projects, right? The 2 projects that I mentioned, plus the one that has been taking some time. So if we add another 3 projects, we would expect revenues of a similar nature.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Participants, you are requested to please press star 1 if you wish to ask a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will take that as the last question for today. On behalf of Glenmark Life Sciences, that concludes this conference. Thank you all for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.